This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to a very fast-moving postcard from Poprad this week with me, Eric Wiltshire, Lee G. Banks, and Mark Gander in Paris.
Hello.
After 36 years of not going to school, talk about, well, I bet he's got a few tickets for that one. Queen's guitarist Brian May has handed in his astronomy thesis for his PhD.
Absolutely, and this just shows what happens to you if you don't have a university education. So my advice to everybody listening is to go out and get a university education. Otherwise, you'll just end up a super rich rock star, you sad people.
Yeah, exactly. I love it more.
I love it. Who was the other one?
Took him 36 years to write a 48,000 word essay. 48,000 words. That's about 750 words a year he's written, which is about 50 words.
Yeah, but it was on astronomy, and it was on about the formation of constellations. There's a lot of stars. He's a rock star.
Very good.
Yeah.
Who was the other one?
Zodiacal.
Yeah.
Oh, Zodiacal the Jackal, Dust Clouds. It's about dust clouds of the Zodiac.
Right.
Is it? Is that what he's written here about? Oh, Zodiacal Dust Clouds.
Who's the other one?
Tenerife.
Professor Brian.
Because the Zodiacal Dust Clouds is what he saw. I don't know, am I allowed to say this when he's taking it up the nose? But
I think he wouldn't do that.
No, of course not. No. Just like Francis wouldn't do it, and Francis Rossi never did it. That's why he can put a pencil through the bottom of his nose these days.
Can I just explain something about Francis Rossi?
Go on.
This is a true story, ladies and gentlemen, and it's another true story. I was at a concert where Francis Rossi was doing that nodding his head forward thing, and his false teeth fell out on the stage, and he had to pick them up and put them back in his mouth in front of 8,000 people.
He's done that lots of times.
Well, is it part of his act?
Yeah, it's part of the stage show.
Yeah.
But most people don't fall for it.
That up to take the sting out of my story. That is a load of rubbish.
I just want to go back to Brian May, and I really just want to say 36 years, a long time to do the thesis, but seriously, what dedication, and how amazing, really, to have had a successful music campaign and then to go on and do a science PhD. Wonderful. Marvellous.
Yeah, but what the other guy that's a professor now, and he's a Brian, I think, as well, isn't he?
Who, Brian Moore?
No, the other rock star chappie.
Who?
There's another one that's done it as well. Somebody, get hold of your station and tell us who it is. There's another 80s, 90s rock star who, after the band closed, went back to university and is now a professor. He's on television a lot.
You're not talking about that bloke out of that band that did that thing called... who then started to look for UFOs.
Yeah.
Him?
Yeah.
You're laughing at what I'm saying, but you knew exactly what I meant.
That's Gary McKinnon looking for UFOs.
No, it's not him, Mark. It's another one. Somebody put on Facebook who it was. It was a rock star chappie. He does programmes on BBC now, looking at the stars and stuff like that. And he's a scientist. He talks about all the wonderful explosive things and that thing in Switzerland and all sorts of things. And he was a pop star.
What explodes in Switzerland?
The thing that goes round and round.
Halion thingy collider slider.
It's not halitosis, is it?
No. Oh, that thing on the ground.
It's a slider. Have you got a slider?
Yeah, that thing underground that goes out and it creates what's it? That thing that created the world, isn't
it? I've never heard such a rubbish radio show in my life.
We are very technical. We're simply trying to present it in a way which will be fully understood by these listeners.
Yes. That's right. Exactly, Mark, because he understood exactly who I was talking about, wasn't it? When I deliberately didn't use the name.
I despair. Do you know, I've worked with the best. Now look at me. Is the BBC being witch-hunted over Jimmy Savile is the cry at the moment? I think it is, actually, as it goes.
What? I'm saying nothing.
Why?
Well, I'm a fan of the BBC, and quite frankly, if the things that I'm starting to hear out of it, then good. It's well-deserved. And it really is quite amazing, you know. And I mean, I'm absolutely shocked because, I mean, I thought that this man was the most marvellous man. And, of course, nothing's proved. And everybody's coming out of the woodwork and talking about this in this way as if it is proved simply because he's dead. And so, therefore, they describe actions. But certainly the weight of stories seems to indicate that what's being said is probably true. And in that case, one has to imagine, how can one become such a colossal serial abuser at all levels?
And yeah, the only thing I would like to put a caveat in there, Mark, in that I'm slightly concerned that the BBC are being lent on by the anti-BBC brigade. When you think about this guy also had keys to anywhere in a mental secure hospital where he could walk around off his own back with no medical qualifications whatsoever. About the only thing he got in any kind of context with medical work was pushing a trolley round.
Yes, but I'm afraid that, you know, if you use, for instance, a very common journalistic press example...
Here we go.
You held yourself up to scrutiny, and if you're in the business of scrutinising other people, then I'm afraid you've got to reckon that it's open season on you, and you've got to be squeaky clean, or else it's very justifiable it comes out. And so it may seem like a witch hunt, and maybe it is very, very poorly motivated in what's happening, but if this is information there that has to be revealed, and if there was a culture of protection of Jimmy Savile and maybe others in this, and I understand that other people have been involved in these kind of these things.
Yeah, there is. Well, actually, Mark, one of the things that a lot of news services have not done or clarified is the fact that a man who will remain nameless was also accused of the same horrendous things and ended up running away into strange areas of Europe decades ago, only to find he then ended up in prison in Austria, kept his head down for years, tried to go back into England after several years. There was one idiot who put him on a radio station, but then everybody else said, excuse me, and then he was off again, and I think he ended up in the Far East.
Can I just say something on this?
Yeah.
I did touch on it last week for quite a while, so I'm not going to go over it all again, but very briefly. I investigated Jimmy Savile in the 80s for this kind of behaviour, and the story ultimately was dropped because of pressure that came from on high on the news desk, and it was a leading national newspaper that dropped the story. This investigation into the BBC isn't in any sense, shape or form a witch hunt. It is absolutely what needs to be done.
Yeah.
An organisation which actually knew, there is absolutely no doubt that knew what was going on, allowed it to go on and did nothing about it. And the things that it's done recently, particularly when they were going to do this show on Jimmy Savile, which was a grand show of how wonderful Mr. Savile was, is just as heinous as happened in the first place. But the simple fact is, in the 1980s, I investigated Jimmy Savile, I investigated two more comedians and one MP for exactly the same kind of thing. Mm. And each story was blocked by powers on high, whether it was the government or any other organisation. The stories were dropped. The reason they were dropped is because in those horrendous days, the sanctity of childhood was not taken too seriously. And actually, children very often, by people in high places, was seen as fodder for perverts. And that's what the BBC needs to be investigated for. And the reason that Jimmy Savile is being exposed as the pervert that he undoubtedly was is not really because he's dead. It's because the people, his victims, have started to come forward. And his victims need to have the right to be able to say, this is what's happened to me. And to basically purge their souls of the shame that was perpetrated on them by these kinds of people.
It's interesting you
completely
say that.
Completely agree. And actually very, very similar. I mean, you know, when you hear about what's going on in the BBC, and, you know, I can't help sort of drawing parallels between this and the Catholic Church. And there seems to be the sort of same kind of sort of institutional protection for, if you like, sort of the priests, not even the high priests, but just the priests of the organisation. It's a shocking, shocking thing.
Can I just say one last thing on this as well?
Yes.
I don't want to spend too much time because I did a lot on it last week, about 15 minutes I went on about it. But I also, at round about the same time, was involved in the investigations into Cleveland and Rochdale, two of the most horrendous cases of child abuse in Britain, or indeed around the world, probably. And that was where the social workers were taken to task over the fact that they denied what was going on. And great play was made of the fact that these children were claiming that they were being abused because of Satan, that it was satanic abuse. And that was a whitewash to hide the fact that the institutions that were supposed to be looking after them weren't looking after them. The institutions who were supposed to be looking after them tried to discredit them by saying that they were calling
Lee,
on the powers
of Satan. I'm going to ask both of you a question now, because I've been watching the media, and we all three of us love the media, and that's probably why we're doing this programme. And it's a fact of life that in the House of Commons, someone's moving their microphone around. Sit still.
It was me.
Sorry. In the House of Commons...
It was him.
In the House of Commons recently, a senior police officer was questioned by a parliamentary committee about how come these groups of Asian guys up in the north of England still seem to be wandering around and are able to abuse kids. And the parliamentary committee, which obviously has greater powers to do things than we do, actually asked them, was it being kept quiet because it was a race issue? And I have to say, in a lot of things, I find that horrendous that it has not been reported as much as Jimmy Savile, because that's not going on now, and yet you've got things going on that are still going on, and they're not getting reported.
Yeah, but you've got to accept that the court case over the that particular abuse went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and there is an element of old news.
Lee, I've just pulled your fader down. You've got to sit still, man, because you are mucking about with your wires somewhere.
Hang on, I'm sorry, I was sitting on it.
That would help.
I've now unsat on it.
Right.
Yeah, no, that is simply, it's a matter of old news and new news, and it will come back onto the news agenda at its right time. But the simple fact is, what was said about the girls who were being abused by these Asian chaps, and again, you remember it was in Oldham, which is like just down the road from Rochdale, was the fact that the girls, because they came from... they came from council house estates and things like that, were actually laying themselves open to this abuse. And I thought that was horrendous too.
It's ridiculous.
I thought that was terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Let's move on, gentlemen. The BBC World Service, for our international listeners, looks like they're going to be cutting even more services, as we predicted earlier in the year. Another 73 jobs are going.
Ha!
Do they not understand that the BBC is respected as a world news source, and all they keep doing to it is cutting it. And the most ludicrous thing, and anybody will understand this comment, I am a lover of digital media. I love the internet. I love all this stuff. But how on earth can a guy in his mud hut in the middle of Africa with no electricity get to the BBC on the internet?
He could have a wind-up radio, like your mate invented.
But they're cutting all the shortwave
services.
Yeah,
but that's not the internet.
It's not the internet, mate.
Wind-up radio is shortwave.
It's shortwave, yeah.
You're quite right. Sorry. I apologise.
Oh, my God.
No, but I agree with you. I think what you're saying is right. And to actually decimate the news service, the world, one of the most respected news services in the world, in such a way, is ludicrous. And I really don't understand why the BBC are allowed to get away with it.
Now his bloody
phone's gone. This is probably Andrew. You're to apologise.
Yeah, right. And I have to say that I do agree with the National Union of Journalists, where they say the cuts fly in the face of the BBC's commitment to sustain quality programming. Now, I'll add
Absolutely.
To that. I'm going to add to that, boys and girls. One of the reasons that I was so proud to be at the BBC when I was there was because of the ethos of pulling in disenfranchised listeners, people around the world who got fed crap, pardon my French, from
that's not French, actually.
Okay, from horrendous regimes around the world, and to use the word mushroom management to try and clean it up. Whereas with the BBC, people could get educated, they could get an opinion, they could form their own views, which a lot of these regimes never wanted them to do. So what the BBC are doing is actually knocking back people moving forward, which is ludicrous.
I couldn't agree more. I think the BBC needs to hang its head in shame over so many issues at the moment, and for it being such an incredibly powerful and persuasive organisation.
I've got a solution, Lee. I've just got it. I've just got the idea.
We take over the BBC.
No. No, that'd be a disaster. No. All the BBC bosses have got to do leave their offices in their little ivory towers.
Yeah.
Take their iPhones or HTCs or Samsung phones to the middle of Africa and make them pick up the BBC and see how hard it is. Then they would know the problem. Because they just sit in London with their internet connections and they go, oh, jolly tippy, oh, we can get the old world service here, chappies. Roger, we'll go. And they don't bear a thought for the guy that's, you know, digging a few holes around to get a bit of roots out.
Yeah. I think that was lovely. Because both me and Mark gave you a tumbleweed moment as you went through that. And I could hear you faltering like you do to me.
I wasn't. Really? I just think these too many of these bosses sit in ivory towers. Don't look at the real world. And I'll tell you what, BBC, show me you really care about your audience. Get your bosses out to these places where they haven't got electricity, haven't got the internet, haven't got computers, and then try and get your ruddy world service on the internet there. It don't work, pal.
It don't. And if he can turn you back on something like the horrendous things that were happening 30 years ago, Eric's quite right that you can turn you back on what you're doing now.
Correct. Turkey tries a pianist. Ooh, this is a bit of a dodgy one. This guy...
The right key.
Well, this is true. Fazıl Şaş appeared in court in Istanbul, charged with inciting hatred and insulting the values of Muslims.
I know. It's a strange story, this, isn't it? Carry on. You explain.
Well, I think the reason
Could I just interrupt very quickly? That is, I think we need to be careful. We might not sit in glasshouses here because we've got a number of similar types of incidents occurring in the United Kingdom at the moment. So, sorry to interrupt.
You're absolutely on the button, Mark. And I think this is where you've got one rule. It's the old adage, don't do as I do as I tell you.
Yeah.
And the problem with all this is across Europe, there are neo-Nazi people hanging about. I've made mention in our running order, boys and girls, that the Twitter is now blocking access to neo-Nazi accounts. And that's a really good thing.
In Germany only.
In Germany only at the moment, but that's only because somebody complained in Germany, and that's a good thing.
But it also, think about what's happened with Nick Clegg over here.
Yes, exactly. And this is my point to the whole story. Yeah. If you get to the bottom of it, and I'm not being anti-religious, anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, anti-Muslim, please, please go and celebrate your God. But don't inflict it on anybody else.
Well, inflict it on anybody else if you want to, but don't go and start threatening all sorts of mayhem against them if they don't want to hear about it or don't accept it.
Oh, we'll be right back to where we were in the 13s and 1400s with Richard the Lion out on his bits and then somebody else having a Barney about something else. And there won't be a peaceful resolution until one thing happens, and that's just acknowledge the fact you got your laws over there, mate. Fine. Yeah. Slovakia's got different laws. I have to put up with those. It's normal. When you go to England, there's another set of laws. France is another set of laws. It's the way it is in those countries. And the sooner people get to grips with that, we'll move forward.
But going back to what Mark says, there is a creeping culture of censoriousness in Britain. And we are banning all sorts of things and all sorts of stupidity. We're actually outlawing insulting words and behaviour. How can you outlaw insulting words and behaviour?
Right,
per se.
Leap.
Just try doing it now and see if you get a slap around the head.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I did that and she's left now. But seriously, we've got a kid. We've got a kid, a student over here who's got himself in trouble for criticising Scientology. Scientology is one of the most bizarre and most outrageous pseudo-religions that there is. And yet we've said that this boy has acted wrongly because he might upset Scientologists. Well, Scientologists have been upsetting people for decades.
Get a life. And equally, yeah. I can't use the word on this programme because we are regulated under English rules. And yet this word is used in Slovakia to describe a black person. And equally, very yeah. recently, a well-known English rapper is using the word in yeah. his tracks, and because he's doing it, it's fine.
I think so. here's another one. Gay rights campaigners from Outrage, right, were arrested under the Public Order Act in Britain, right, when they protested. The only thing they did was they went out and did their lawful right to protest against Islamic fundamentalists who were calling for the killing of gays, Jews and unchaste women. Mm. I can't believe it. They were taken to task under the Public Order Act for campaigning, for protesting about people who were saying that we should kill gays, Jews and unchaste women. What a ludicrous world we are.
Let's lighten up a bit, boys and girls. Lee's going to hate me for this. Because Lee actually put this story in, and I picked it up at a different point, and I'm sure we both picked it up for completely and utterly different reasons. And I'll share mine first, because I'm here. And it's the good old Newsweek magazine has ended its print edition and will now go online. And the thing, if anybody asks me, or just says to me, Newsweek, the first thing that comes in my brain is Newsweek magazine.
Yeah.
That's the way it was said. And it was the introduction to the Radio Caroline News. Newsweek magazine sponsored Caroline News, yeah.
Is that right, really?
I didn't realize that. In the 1980s, gentlemen.
I put it on because it should be spelled news with W-E-A-K. And Newsweek was very weak, and that's really one of the reasons it's collapsed onto the internet.
It was just sort of glossy magazine news, wasn't it? I mean, it was
a low circulation magazine, and what they should have done was made it a luxury item. I hold my hands up. I've never said that the internet ultimately will not close down the bulk of published terrestrially published media. It's just the way things will go. But what the terrestrially published media will do is turn themselves into luxury items. That's why they're getting more and more costly. There are things that you buy on a Sunday and you keep for the rest of the week. Or like Newsweek, if that had made itself a better, more thoughtful, more intense magazine, it would have continued. And it's sad.
It's funny, that business model that you're talking about is absolutely right, Lee. Absolutely right.
I love you. You've been so nice to me today, and I've been totally outrageous.
No, you're going to be really knocked, because years and years ago, a friend of mine opened a rather large garden centre in the UK, and he was really, he had lots of money, and he didn't need this business particularly, but he wanted to put good quality plants at incredibly low prices into the hands of the masses. That was his dream.
Yeah.
The company was in so much debt after 6 months. I saw him sitting there one day. I said, "What's up, mate?" And he said, it isn't working. Bleep, 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 bleep. And I said, "Look, there's only one way you'll save this business."
Was that him crying? No, was that his tears falling?
Something like that, yes. Either that or we get a fine. And so I came up with this horrendous suggestion to him, which he grimaced at, but then did. And I said, "Look, just throw all the plants away, mate. Chuck them in the bin. Chuck them away. Get rid of them all. Redo the car park. Put all nice snobby plants in there. Make it with a coffee shop. Do all this, that and the other. And go and hire a few Rolls Royces and Mercedes for a day or so." It worked. Yeah. All the Mercedes and Rolls Royce owners poured in the place. He made a huge amount of money, and then he sold it. Simple as that. What you're saying, Lee, is absolutely right.
Absolutely, it falls into that category. Absolutely perfectly.
And someone's typing an email now.
What? Somebody's what? Sorry.
Someone's typing an email, Mark.
It was him.
It's not. It is not me. It's not me. You are a liar.
You're right. You're true. It's true.
All right. The UK's facing fines from the EU water breaches. And why is the EU going to slap a fine on the UK because it's dumping raw sewage into waterways in London, you lucky people.
I think that's amazing because I tell you what, when I was a travel writer, which ain't that long ago, I went to Alcudia in wherever that is in Tenerife, yeah? And my intro on my story was that you don't so much swim in the sea off Alcudia, you just go through the motions.
No way. That's horrible.
Well, it's the truth. That's what I wrote. And that's it. All over the EU, you go through the motions when you're walking, swimming. Mark will back me up on that. What about the insane?
The what?
Yeah.
A river called the Seine that you're in.
Oh, the Seine. Well, yeah, but I mean, I was going to say that, I mean, quite frankly, I think, you know, London's doing a better job putting it in the water than in Paris, where they seem to run it straight onto the streets.
Yeah. But he said, but the whole of the EU, why are they fining us when it's happening all over the European Union? Why don't they go and fine Paris? Why don't they fine Tenerife? Why don't they fine? I have been in the most horrendous beaches where you find all sorts of things. You're swimming down, and then it's like a hedgehog swimming at you because it's been in the sea that long, and it just floats past you, and you don't take a breath.
Well, I'm lucky, boys and girls, because the motto of somewhere very close to me is Juste à Vodre, which stands for clear water. And that's what we have. And we can drink it out of the taps, and we can go and do this, that, and the other. And in actual fact here, either local authority or the national government will test pools of water, i.e., you know, the sort of man-made lakes that appear, not man-made, natural-made lakes that appear, for viruses, for this, that, and the other, and they check them all the time. And they will put warning notices up saying, you shouldn't swim in this one until such time because, or you do this. And they've cleaned their act up. So why can't London do it?
Of course London could do it, but I just don't think London is that bad at what they're doing. They might have got, you know, it's like the old Dirty Beaches campaign, isn't it? Things like that. But, you know, cities, seaside resorts in Britain used to lose on that, but they weren't as bad as other places. What about that river that runs through Poprad, that beautiful river?
It's lovely.
It is lovely. That's what I was going to say. That's not polluted, is it?
No, exactly. We've got to go, boys and girls, but before we do, I've got to squeeze this in. I have never seen such an inspirational story in my life as the Austrian Felix Baumgartner, who jumped off of that balloon. I was like, hairs on my arms are standing up now. I'm going,
isn't it amazing?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. 128,000 feet, eh?
Yeah, that's in funny money. 39 kilometres up above us, and he jumped out and...
39,000?
39,000 kilometres, yeah.
You said 39 kilometres.
Oh, sorry. 39,000. Beg your pardon. What is 39 kilometres? Feet? Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as much as 128,000, does it?
And he still could have died if he'd have spun out of control coming down.
Yeah, which it looked as if he was going to.
I thought that as well, Mark. And do you know what I found horrendous?
What?
The news journalist going, oh dear, it went well.
Oh, what a load of rubbish. What news journalist said that?
On the telly, mate.
You're just making it up.
I'm not really. Anyway, I just think that he's a great inspiration to people, and he proves that you can do anything if you really put your mind to it. And on that happy note, we've got to say goodbye, gentlemen. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.